Hi, everybody. This is Donna Fox, and you're listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is a show that we talk about information that comes from the Akashic Records, and it comes specifically for the people who call in, as well as those who call in many times do a great service to those who are listening. So the numbers to call in are 888-429-5471 or 530-763-1574. And you can call in and ask any questions you want about your life. The Akashic Records hold all the information since the beginning of time and beyond. And we are all living a curriculum that we created in a looser form before we came into the planet. But our choices while we're here, our choices are what actually created the path of this lifetime. So that we have had a curriculum before we came in. We had things that we wanted to accomplish and experience. And our choices on the planet, based on who came into our lives or who we wanted to come into our lives, then those choices helped shape what your life looks like today. And so when we say you have to take responsibility for your own reality, you really need to understand that even though things look like they are beyond your control or have just happened to you, they are a function of your soul's enlightenment. And so it's very important to take a look at your situation and ask yourself, how would I like it to be different? And we're talking realistically, not, you know, how would you want it to be different? The reason why we want you to be realistic is because when you have a realistic goal, you can see and feel the end result. And then once you accomplish that, you can go to a bigger, a larger end result. But being able to actually feel the end result without feeling that you're not worthy of it or that it can never come to be is the first step in learning how to manifest. And we want you to learn how to manifest. We want you to learn how to move forward on your path in ease and grace and harmony. And so there's so many of you out there that say, well, I don't know what my path is. I don't know what I'm, quote-unquote, supposed to do. And we would tell you it's not what you think you should do. It's what comes from your heart of what you want to do. And so for those people who say, I don't know what I want, we would say to you, start noticing and documenting your joy. Notice your joy. Notice your happiness. Notice your contentment. And notice what you like, what you don't like. Start literally keeping a journal of observations of your life. And those observations will actually create a very obvious pattern for what you like and where you feel comfortable. And then what you want to do is you want to be able to then take a look at that pattern. And as soon as you look at the pattern of how you want your life to look and feel, notice the first thing that comes to your mind as a vocation. Now, you really need to realize that everything is spiritual.
Thank you.
You cannot have a quote-unquote mundane job. And we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hello. Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hello? The rural area. Can you hear me?
I can. You cut out a little bit. Who is this, please? What is your name, dear?
I just emailed you my...
Okay, hold on. Let me get to that screen. I will...
I realize I have to make the report because I have a bad connection.
Okay, well, we just go ahead. I just had it. No, I don't know what happened to it. Okay, just... okay. Hold on. We're going to get there. Too many tabs open at one time. Kick me out.
All right.
Okay. All right. You're in a rural area, huh?
Actually, I already answered my question.
Okay. All right. So great. I've got your name. So what is your question, dear?
Little change.
Oh, wow. You just broke up on me. Maybe it would be better if you emailed me the question. Hello?
I'm sorry. We're having problems with your guest, it seems.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I'll email you. Thank you.
All right. And then I will answer it as soon as I get the email. Okay, Catherine? Okay.
Thank you.
All right, dear. I'll wait for it. So what we were saying is that hopefully, and Catherine, we know she has email. It's just hard for having a phone. So we're so glad that she is calling in. You know, when you folks call in, it really makes the program so rich because it's your information and your questions that really become so important to us. And when you ask your questions, you actually help other people. And so that's very important. Very, very important. So, and I have a sense that Catherine has been a long-time listener, or at least a listener before, because she knew that if she was asking a question, to email me her current legal name. And that's the thing about the Akashic Records, is that all I need is your current legal name, and we'll get to the right area of the records based on your question. So your question and your legal name get us to the right area of the records to answer your questions. So that's what's really important. So if you are if you're out there and you would like to call in, you can certainly do so, and you can also email me questions at info@akashicwisdom.com. So you can easily do that. We get email questions all the time. And again, I'm going to give you the numbers to call in. If you're in Canada, the U.S. or Canada, you can dial in to 888-429-5471. Or you can also dial direct if you want, or if you're out of the country. Our country code is 011, and it's 530-763-1574. So we look forward to hearing from you one way or another. And so we were talking about, I'm waiting for her email yet, we were talking about becoming very, very vigilant and observant of what creates your joy. And to really, really look at it, really look at not only what creates your joy, but your happiness, your contentment, and also look at the things that you envy. So what happens is that you have a situation where you happen to see somebody possibly doing something that you would always want to do. And the comment comes forward, if only I could do that. Well, that might be a passion. And so you want to really take a look at that passion. and really understand what that passion is all about. Or maybe you had a dream as a child of what you wanted to do. Maybe you would like to, I don't know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a teacher, and then I wanted to be an actress. And even though I have an acting background, I've never had a speaking part in a movie, although I would love to have one. It's kind of on my bucket list. But, or I'd love to be able to record a CD of singing. I love to sing. But I know that my calling is that of teacher. And although I'm not a teacher in the schools, not the schools that we know of, I am a teacher of the Akashic Records. So that's something that you might want to know, that there's different ways of being teacher. And so you have to decide what the energy is of what it is that you love to do. What is the energy around it, okay? Okay, so we have Catherine's question. Okay, so I'm going to read it right as she's written it. What I wanted to know is if you have any wisdom for me. I have made a lot of changes recently. I have moved to a rural area, downsized, distressed my life. De-stressed my life. But sometimes I feel now like, what am I doing here? Or rather, what am I here to do? I've been doing things like berry picking, bread making, but feel there must be soul.
Hey, Jonah, don't...
Whoops, hello.
Hi, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
And hi, caller. And where are you calling from?
Nevada.
Ah, Nevada. And your name, please?
Karen Williams.
Oh, okay. All right. Hello, Karen. I was just reading an email question from one of our listeners, but you came in, so we'll talk to you, and then we will get to our other question as soon as we're done chatting. How can the Akashic Records help you today, Karen?
Well, I've never really found my meaning. I've always felt like I'm just like floating, and I've never found like content with anything.
Okay, so when you're saying I never found content, you're talking about in a career or a job.
In a career, a job, love life, you know, pretty much those two things.
Okay, those would be major things. So if you were to describe your perfect day for me, that would be a great day. How would you describe it? What would you be doing?
A great day. I would get up, get my family off to doing whatever they have to do. I would love to have someone that I love, a partner. And then my job, I would love to do art. Then go off to art and then come home and do it all over again.
Okay. And so when you say do art, what kind of art do you want to do?
Paint and sculpt.
And have you gotten some training in that or any background in it?
Yes.
And do you do that now at all?
Yes, but I don't do it as much as I should. I always just give up on it.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like maybe it's not going to take me anywhere in the future.
So the only reason you do it is for it, so it'll take you someplace in the future?
Well, yeah, I want to be able to make a living at it, but because I have so much time in the day, you know.
Uh-huh. But the question
like
is
not
is
going
that
to be fruitful.
I'm sorry, what?
I just feel like it's not going to be fruitful.
And so what?
So I just stopped doing it.
And then you turned to doing something else that is fruitful?
Not really, just normal jobs, you know.
But what's happening, though, Karen, is you're not filling your soul.
Yes.
You're not feeling fulfilled. So what's important to understand is that by doing what you love and allowing that love to build and allowing that energy to flow through your work, that once you gather enough work, there you can always display it, right?
Right.
But you can't do that unless you truly love what you're doing. It can't support you if you quit on it. The work is there. The talent is there. But if you put a wall up from the talent, then you'll never be able to fulfill your dream.
Right. But the question is that my calling? I mean, is that what I'm supposed to do?
Well, it's never about supposed to. It's never about supposed to. It's about what brings you the most joy. You know, there's mundane things that we all have to do. Like you have kids. You have to get the kids up. You have to get them dressed. You have to fix them breakfast. They get off to school. They come home. You have to help with your homework, right?
Right.
And that, to some people, is an absolute joy. To other people, it's mundane. Other people, it's just something they do because they're a parent. And all of those are appropriate feelings for those people. But there's got to be something in your life that you look forward to beyond everything, that you actually lose time while you're doing it. And what I'm hearing is sculpting actually is something that, and painting is, you know, what you said before, is like that. It's like you can be there for hours, and it'll be like a minute.
Right, it does.
Yeah. And so it's when you lose yourself into that type of joyful yet purposeful meditation is when you create the most beautiful things, because you're putting your love energy into those works. And part of the issue here has to do with you doing those pieces and actually creating a marketing plan of how to get those pieces out. So, for example, you may want to donate one or more pieces to the local TV station who has public TV.
Oh, yeah.
That has an auction for a fundraiser.
Oh.
And they mention your name. And they mention who, you know, the piece of art, and thousands of people see that.
Okay, I never thought about that.
And what I'm also hearing is it's also about, you know, like if there are PTAs or churches or synagogues that are having auctions the same way, donate a piece of your art to it with your business card. And maybe a little brochure about the types of art you have. And if you do custom things, put that in there too. You may even want to go to different restaurants and see if they're interested in having your paintings on their wall.
Right.
That you have for sale.
I've been at some restaurants.
I'm sorry, what?
I've emailed restaurants. I just never got a reply back.
You don't want to email them. You want to walk in there. You want to have your piece with you. So not about them buying your piece. It's about being able to put the piece up in their restaurant. It doesn't cost them anything. And you'll give them a commission if they sell it.
Yeah.
But emailing, even if you have attached file, many times people are afraid to open it because they don't know if it's spam or not, if they don't know if there's a virus. You have to call the owner, tell them who you are, make an appointment to bring some of your art pieces in. And we would suggest upscale restaurants.
Yeah, I know. We have a lot of those up here.
So the idea is that you have to look at the restaurant that would best match the theme of your art. But you can't do it unless you have enough pieces to show, right?
Right, yep.
So the idea is that with the master's teachers and loved ones, the Akasha, they've just given you a marketing plan. I hope you've taken notes.
Yes.
The reason that's important is because when you have a goal in mind of who you want to share your art with, then it makes it more real for you. Now, will this success happened overnight? I don't know. That's not what they're showing me. But they're showing me that without trying, you'll never know.
Yeah.
You can't. Don't give up on yourself. There's a saying is, you don't want to die with your music still in you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that I think there's a Mark Twain quote that says, at the end of life, we will regret more of what we didn't do rather than of what we did. We will regret more of what we didn't do rather than be proud of what we accomplished. I think I'm paraphrasing that. But that the point is, if you wait for the right time to do what you love, the right time never comes.
Okay.
Can you survive and do this at the same time and just get a small job? I mean, do you have to support your children?
Yeah, I work.
Right, but do you have time to do the art on the weekends or at night?
Yeah. It just takes time away from, I guess.
Being with the kids.
Spending time with the kids, yeah. So.
Right. But what time do the kids go to bed?
I don't know, maybe 10. Depends how tired they are. Sometimes they go to bed at 8, 7.
How old are the kids?
My two kids are 14 and 18.
Oh, these aren't children. I mean, they're children, but it's like, there's nothing wrong with you taking time. It's like if they go to sleep. I mean, there's nothing wrong with you doing your art. I mean, these are not babies. It's not like you've got to put them to bed every night, So maybe two nights a week you do your art.
As much time as I can. Yeah.
What? Yeah, of course. But the reality is, so how do you spend your time with the kids? What do?
We usually go to the lake, or we'll watch movies, or go to a family house, somebody's house.
Okay, so the idea is do either one of them like art?
They both do. They all do.
So why not do it together with them?
They always lose interest.
What do you mean? Wait, you just said two different things. They all
like
do, they like it,
it
and yet they
interest.
Lose interest. What does that mean?
Yeah. They only do it for a short amount of time.
What's the short amount of time?
Let's see, if I'm trying to show them how to paint, I probably have their attention maybe 3 days, and then they don't want to do it anymore.
Okay. So the idea here is that why do you have to teach them? Why can't they just paint the way they want to paint?
Oh, well, I don't know. Because they want to try to learn what I do.
Okay. Well, that's great. But what I'm hearing the master's teachers and loved ones saying to you is don't put any parameters on it. Allow them to come and joyfully paint or sculpt the way they want while you do the same. And then model what you want them to learn. Because all of a sudden they're going to say, oh, Mom, how'd you get that done? It's like, well, I'll show you if you want to learn. You see the difference?
Yeah.
So what are you really afraid of, Karen?
That's pretty much it.
What?
That's pretty much it. Just, you know, have a bunch of paintings around and, like, not being able to do anything with them or...
Do you think you're good?
I think they're good. It costs a lot to make one painting.
Right, because you're working with oils, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But the issue here is that... if you worked with acrylics, wouldn't it be? It would make it easier, right?
Acrylics is a lot harder for me to paint because I'm mixing so much.
Okay. Oh yeah, because they dry so fast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So the idea is that. Do you have any paintings now?
Yes, but they're already given out. They're already gone.
Were they sold or given?
I gave them away. I sold one, and then the rest of them I pretty much gave away.
Why?
Just as presents, you know?
Oh, I see. Okay. So the idea here is that, but clay is not that expensive, right? It's not as expensive as an oil painting, correct?
It's pretty expensive. The kind of clay that dries out, it's not that expensive. I like to work with oil clay, so it never dries. Because
okay.
It takes me such a long time to make them.
So it never
and
dries, and then you have to fire it?
Spending.
I'm sorry, what?
No. I don't fire the clay. You make a mold of it.
You make a mold of the clay?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
all pretty spendy.
I'm sorry?
I lost you there
for a minute. What'd you say?
I said that's all pretty spendy.
So in this job, these jobs that you have, do you ever save up money just so you can do your art?
No, I pretty much only do it like once tax season comes around and I have a few $100 to spend on it.
Okay. Would you be able to give lessons to people who enjoy art?
Yeah.
And they would have to bring their
own
materials.
I thought about that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the idea is the way you get it, the way you get to do what you want to do is to then teach it and get the money from the teaching and have the people buy their own materials, and then you will end up having the money to buy your materials.
Right.
And it's also another way of getting your name out as an artist. See, if you continue doing what you don't love and things just to get you by, your resentment is starting to build. And there's a possibility that you could feel very resentful about your life not going the way you wanted it to go, or because you quote unquote had to make sacrifices. Can you see that?
Yeah.
That's happening already, isn't it?
Yep.
So the idea here is to start doing something about it that makes you feel good about you. maybe it's creating the art classes, or possibly it's even starting to work with a different medium, you know, just to be able to get the art out of you. I mean, if you were to make a watercolor or a sketch and then take that and make an oil out of it, then you've got a couple of different mediums to sell of the same piece, right?
Yeah.
And the sketching and the watercolors are being more inexpensive than the oils right now, right?
Oh, yeah. I have all the materials to do all that, and that won't cost anything.
So it's about getting the juices flowing. So if you can think about doing art and that makes you happy, you have to start there before you even look for a relationship. You understand that? Do you understand why?
Not quite really sure, no.
Oh, sorry, again?
I said I'm not quite sure, no, because I just kind of wanted just all to happen at once.
Well, the challenge is if you start into a relationship, you won't have time for your art.
Right, that's true.
And then all of a sudden, it's not about taking care of you. It's about taking care of one other individual, because that's the way you run. You like to rescue people.
Yep.
Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
And so if you have to rescue somebody, then that means that they have to be in a somewhat of a needy position, and that takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And the relationships don't last because eventually you get tired of taking care of them because they will never take care of you.
Yeah.
Right. So the idea here is for you to really get your act together so you don't need to take care of anyone because you're too busy taking care of you, and that when you find a relationship, that person has found an independent woman of which to be a partner with rather than a dependent.
Right. Those are hard to find.
It's hard to find when you're rescuing people, because that's what you'll attract.
Yeah.
You know. And the other piece is the people who are the most needy that you help the most end up disappointing you anyway.
Yeah, always.
Yeah. So that pattern's got to change, right?
Yeah.
So you really do know what you want to do. You're just afraid to do it for fear you're not going to be successful with it.
Yes.
But the reality is that if you do it because you love it, it's not about being monetarily successful as much as it is being emotionally strong. Because when you become emotionally strong, it's a whole new world opens up for you. The fear about being emotionally strong, though, with you, is that you're afraid that you don't deserve it. What's that about?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Well, I want you to just imagine what it was like growing up. Was that a happy time?
Oh, no.
Right. Did you hear a lot of compliments?
A lot of what?
Compliments?
No.
Now do you get an idea of why you don't feel good about you?
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
Well, think about it. If you're a kid and you're growing up and nobody recognizes your talent or your beauty or your smarts, and you're working as hard as you can, you're dancing as hard as you can, and all you get is criticism, doesn't go a whole long way on your self-esteem.
Right.
Yeah.
True.
That's why you're different with your kids, aren't you?
Yeah. So just work on the art, huh? Just get past.
Well, working on the yard is working on you.
Okay.
You have to remind yourself every day why you're why you are worthy of doing what you love. And you're worthy of doing what you love because you're a magnificent being of light. And you have gifts to give the world. And you've raised two beautiful kids. No matter where they are right now or what's going on with them, they're beautiful beings that just need support. And they need an example of a strong woman who's doing what she loves and allowing things to fall into place because she has faith that it will.
Okay.
They need that right now. You do that. You understand that part, right?
Yeah.
Your kids need a model of a strong woman.
Yes.
Yeah. So, for no other reason, you got to do it for them, right?
Yes.
They love you very much, you know.
Yes, I know.
And the best, you know, unfortunately, we as human beings parent the way we were parented. And somewhere along the line, that mold has got to be broken if it wasn't a happy childhood.
Right. I always say that.
Right. So the idea here is now you have to reparent yourself. And you have to tell that little girl inside of you how worthy she is and that she doesn't deserve any more pain. And the other thing you deserve is for somebody to cherish you. But they can't cherish you until you cherish you. Because even if they did, you wouldn't recognize it. And it would be too easy for you, and you'd give it up on them.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you like the needy bad boys.
Yeah.
Is that true?
True.
Yeah. Right. So the idea
that's
here
a hard
is,
cycle
is,
to fall out of.
I'm sorry, what?
I said that's a hard cycle to fall out of. They seem to be
only if you don't start noticing. The whole idea is starting to notice when you're falling into that same pattern.
I know,
and the way
I
you notice that you're falling in the same pattern is when they start not treating you well. And you hold on waiting for them to treat you well.
Yeah.
It's like one strike, you're out, buddy. Because the true nature of a person, you know, if somebody's really, really nice, they don't ever do not nice things.
Okay.
You understand that? So
yeah.
If somebody's a jerk, they can only hide being a jerk for so long. And then the jerk's got to come out.
Right. Even if you see it with him doing that to somebody else. Okay.
Exactly. If they're not treating somebody else nice, they're a jerk.
Right.
And so it's your job to say, whoa, that didn't feel good. And as soon as it doesn't feel good, you're out of there. No matter how cute the guy is, no matter how slick you think he is, no matter how rich he is, and no matter how good in bed he is. If he's a jerk, he's going to be and he shows a little bit of being a jerk, he's going to be a bigger jerk once he knows he's gotcha.
Right.
Is this helpful?
It's very helpful, thank you.
Well, the reason I say that is because, or ask, is because it's only helpful if you're going to take action on it. So you have to make a decision of what's the first thing you're going to do to take action on the information that's been given to you.
Well, the first action is I think about it all the time. And the next, I need to go get myself a canvas and just start doing something.
There you go. That's right. That's it. Absolutely.
Okay.
And you need to start journaling what makes you happy and what you're grateful for.
Well, I thank you for your help today.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Have you listened to before, or are you a first-time listener?
This is my first time.
Well, good. I hope you listen some more. I hope you listen again, okay?
Oh, I will.
All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much, Karen, for calling in. You know, I want you to know that you've helped a lot of people tonight because you're not the only one that's in this rut.
Right.
The thing is we go over and over again, if you continue to do the same thing you've always done, you're always going to get what you always got or something like that, right?
Yep.
Isn't that the truth, right?
Yep.
We keep waiting for something different to happen to us.
Right.
Even though we're doing the same thing we did before. Doesn't work that way.
We have to shift. I keep thinking about that.
Yep. Got to shift out of your comfort zone and really become aware. And it's not about giving anybody any second chances. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. If it doesn't feel good, don't do it. So I hope you call again, okay?
Okay, I will. Thank you.
All right. And keep in touch and let me know what you're doing. And if you have a picture of any of your art, if you want to email it to me, you could email it at info@akashicwisdom.com. I'd love to see it.
Okay, I can do that.
Oh, I'd love to see it. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Have a good
thank
evening.
You very much. Okay, Karen. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
So I hope that helped you guys because, you know, Karen's challenges are your challenges. So we're going to get back to Catherine here. So she has made a lot of changes. She's moved to a rural area. She's downsized and kind of de-stressed her life. But she wants to know, what am I doing here, or rather, what am I here to do? She said, I've been doing things like picking berries, bread making, but feel there must be soul work I have to do here. Do you have any insights for me? I would like to feel more like I am making progress towards something. So the first thing that comes forward, Catherine, is that it's time for you to really be quiet and listen to your own still voice. And that's why in picking berries and in bread making, that is your soul work, so that you're doing something with your hands and your body, but you can listen with your heart. And so it's time for you to start having conversations with yourself. And it's time for you to start really noticing your joy, like we were talking to Karen just a moment ago. It's really about you noticing your joy. Because you have important work to do. And I'm hearing that there's a book that you want to write. There's a project you want to work on. But for whatever reason, you are holding back on it. And if it hasn't come to you, it will. It's something about downsizing and finding joy in the downsize. It's about being willing to do the beautiful work of the planet by picking berries and making bread. It's about you truly enjoying your time in nature. It's about you walking in the forest and or the woods and out in nature and feeling the fairies and the divas and the plants and the trees. It's allowing yourself the wisdom of the luxury of listening to you, to what's around you, and to spirit. And so your job right now is to do your soul work, your internal soul work. Because your internal soul work will then create a path of what you love to do. Writers need to write, express their feelings. Artists need to do art. Speakers need to speak. Singers need to sing. Dancers need to dance. Gardeners need to garden. And bookkeepers need to keep books. It's all about finding your passion based on what you love to do. And remember, it's never about should, it's about love. So the soul work is a deep internal work that you've actually been longing for. It's about sitting, and they're showing me a rocker, okay, and a porch. It's showing me some type of a, so that you can sit outside and with your journal, maybe even kick your feet up on the rail or ottoman or whatever, and just listen to nature and allow the divine to speak to you. And don't judge what's coming through. Just write it down. And it's also about going deep into gratitude that you have created the ability and the luxury of doing nothing and something at the same time. You have the luxury of starting from nothing and building it. Whatever it may be for you. And you know, you don't even have to know what that is. You don't even know what it is. You just need to be willing to allow it to be. Willing to allow it to be. Allowing it to unfold. Allowing it and the vibrations of whatever it is to come to you because you're being open, because you're doing your own personal soul work and going deep into your heart with love and gratitude and a longing. But it's not about being impatient. It's like, you can't sit around saying, okay, is today the day you're going to tell me what I should do? Am I supposed to be doing this? Is this my sole purpose? You're never going to get answers like that. Because it's not about should. It's not about being told what to do. It's about being guided with things that are put before you that you deserve and that you realize, oh my goodness, I love doing this. Wow, this is so much fun. When you got out of the corporate world so you wouldn't be so rushed, now you have plenty of time to do your own work. And that's all that's being asked of you at this point in time, is just do your own work. And I'm sorry we weren't able to. I'm sorry we weren't able to talk person to person. But for all of those who are listening, and you, Karen, as well as my friend here, Catherine, I'm available for telephone consultations. You can call my my voicemail number. It's 216-691-1233. Again, 216-691-1233. And you can call me and we can schedule an appointment. You can email me and schedule an appointment. I'll send you information about the work. Again, the email is info@akashicwisdom.com. But do. So what you are there to do is your soul work for right now and allow things to unfold. That's the same, actually, information that Karen got. So you have a lot in common. Thank you so much for your questions. Please keep in touch with me. I really want to know how this information worked for you. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to say goodbye. One more week. Next week, we will be in touch. For those people who would like to learn about their Akashic Records, who would like to learn how to open their own personal Akashic Records, I'm going to be having an internet class as well as a live face-to-face class on August 24th and 25th. And that's probably a week from now, 2 weeks from now. So if you're interested in learning how to access your own Akashic Records, you don't even have to travel. As long as you have a computer and internet access, we can do that. So do give me a buzz at 216-691-1233, or if you'd like, just email me at info@akashicwisdom.com. So we are going to sign off now, and I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing information. And with that, we close the records by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Have a miracle-filled week, folks, and I'll talk to you next Sunday. Bye-bye.